This morning we looked at the account found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, which tells about Jesus and the disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee and Jesus calming the storm that arose. This evening we're going to consider the next event that occurred once they arrived on the other side of the lake. Our text is Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and we will read the passage at this time in its entirety. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, says, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day he among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them.' He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, 'Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." Verse 20 tells us that the region where they landed was called the Decapolis. The word Decapolis is a compound Greek word meaning 10 cities. The Decapolis was a Gentile region on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, where the Hasmoneans and later the Romans established 10 cities of pagan culture and ideals. This was Gentile territory. And so from a Jewish perspective, everything in this account reeks of uncleanness. Jesus meets an unclean man with an unclean spirit living among unclean tombs, surrounded by unclean herds of swine, all in unclean Gentile territory. The man that we meet there made his home in a cemetery. This man lived among the tombs. He lived in a cemetery. Everything in a cemetery speaks of the past. Everything in the tombs speaks of that which no longer is here. Jesus would give this man a new future. The man wore no clothes. He lived like a subhuman. He lived like a wild animal. The man lived among the decaying. He lived among the dead. The man had supernatural strength. The text says he pulled chains apart. The man was tormented and self-destructive. He went around crying out and cutting himself with stones. The man was fundamentally dead to the living world. He was at home among the tombs. And the demons made their home in the man. These demons took up their abode in this man and made him dead to all the living. They had power over this man's life, but they were powerless before Christ. They were fully aware of Jesus' divine origin and his superior power, Verse 6 tells us, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He knelt before Jesus in homage, not in worship. He showed honor and respect toward Christ in recognition of his superiority. Verses 7 and 10 tells us the demon shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." And then in verse 10, he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. He appealed to Jesus not to punish him. He requested, he entreated Jesus to allow him to enter the swine. He addressed Jesus as Son of the Most High God. These words, Most High God, were used in the Old Testament to refer to the superiority of the true God of Israel over all man-made gods. And identifying Jesus in this way, the demon stands in contrast to the disciples from the previous account we saw this morning in chapter 4, in that this demon knew exactly who Jesus was. You recall after Jesus calmed the storm on the sea in chapter 4, verse 39. The disciples asked, "Who can this be? Even the wind and waves obey him." Yet this demon identifies Jesus emphatically and unequivocally. He said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The demon knew who Jesus was, even if the disciples didn't. This demon identifies himself as legion. A legion in the Roman army varied, but in Jesus' time, a legion consisted of somewhere between 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. And that, like I said, varied from time to time. In verse 9, the demon said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." According to the customs of Jewish exorcists at that time, one had to know the name of the demon in order to gain authority over it, and in order to expel it from the demon-possessed person. An exorcist uses incantations, and they invoke the authority of someone else. Jesus did none of these. Jesus asked the demon's name, but he did not use the name of the demon to drive him out of the man. Jesus had authority over demons that went far beyond current superstitions. Some have surmised that Satan anticipated Jesus encountering the demon-possessed man and casting the demons out of him, and this would give credence perhaps to the possibility that the storm at sea was caused by Satan in order to hinder Jesus from carrying out this task against Satan's cohorts. When the demons got what they asked for, they momentarily made the swine their home. The Lord has been criticized for causing the destruction of these pigs. It's been argued, for example, that Christ had a character flaw for allowing this inhumane treatment of animals, for allowing the destruction of property. Different arguments have been set forth to defend the Lord's behavior, and I'll mention a few of them. Some have said that Jesus did not cause this destruction. He only permitted it. He didn't actively send them into the swine. He merely allowed it to be the case. Verses 12 and 13, we find the demons begged Jesus to send them among the pigs. "Allow us to go into them," they said. And then the next verse, verse 13, says he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. But you know, if you permit someone to murder someone else when you could have prevented it, where does that leave you? Some point out that the soul of the man was worth more than all the pigs in the world. Well, that's true. But one could still say Jesus had a choice. He still didn't have to send them into the pigs. Verse 10 says the demon begged Jesus again and again not to send them out into the area, or the country, says the New King James Version. Luke's account in chapter 8, verse 31 says they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. He could have sent them back there. It's been said that the stampede provided objective proof of the exorcism, and that's true. But the man sitting there dressed in his right mind seems to have been proof enough of that. It's been noted that the loss of the herd of swine became a way of exposing the real values of the people in the area. They preferred pigs to people. They preferred the swine to the Savior. This was also a dramatic illustration of the destructive nature of sin and Satan. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Satan and sin bring destruction to everything they touch. That was seen in the life and the behavior of the man while he was under Satan's control. And it was further seen in the destruction of the pigs. The truth is, the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, do not give the reason why Jesus sent the demons into the swine. I'm confident of this much. If we knew as much as Jesus knows, and if we had the perspective that Jesus has, we would have acted exactly the same way he did. The people did not want to make Jesus, to make his home with them. Verse 14 says, "Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told it to the people, told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region." Why did the people ask Jesus to leave? Indeed, we might say a notable miracle had been done here. A wonderful thing had happened. But at the same time, we're not given the motive for this request either. Maybe they feared Jesus' power. Some people are more comfortable with demons they know than with a power they cannot comprehend. Some may say, well, the devil we know is better than the one that we don't know. The power that we're familiar with is maybe better than the power that we're not familiar with. They didn't know what to expect. Maybe they feared Jesus would do more damage to the local economy. Regardless of the reason for asking him to leave, Jesus does not stay where he is not wanted. And we see that the man went home a different person. Verse 18 again says, "As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed." When Jesus becomes Lord of someone's life, changes will take place in that person. Changes will take place in that person's heart and in that person's character. Some changes will be instant, as seen in this man, sitting there dressed and in his right mind. Other changes will be gradual due to knowledge and understanding and other factors, and some changes will be the work of a lifetime. But one will not be the same person that he was. In this account, we see three different forces at work: Satan, society, and the Savior. The same three forces are still at work in our world, trying to control the lives of people. Satan is the first and the most obvious force at work as the account opens itself up. Satan is our enemy, and he would destroy all of us if he could. We must never underestimate the destructive power of Satan. This man lost his home. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his decency as he ran around in the tombs naked. He lost his self-control and lived like a wild animal, screaming and cutting himself. He lost his purpose for living. And he would have remained in that condition if Jesus had not come through a storm to rescue him. People often focus on what they'll have to give up to serve Christ, and they may wonder what Christ will do for them. What's he going to do for me? I'm going to have to give up all this. What's he going to do for me? This account shows what Satan will do for you. Satan will rob you of your sanity and self-control. He will fill you with fears. He will rob you of the joy of home and friends. He'll condemn you to an eternity of judgment. Satan wreaks havoc in every community. Though there is no demon possession today, Satan still wreaks havoc through people who are doing his will and who are living wicked lives. Jesus brought peace to a community by restoring this man. People may have been upset by the economic loss of the pigs, but more wealth and more things will not bring peace. It's the elimination of evil from a community that brings peace. Second force at work was society. But with all of its wonderful scientific achievements and all its other marvels, society still cannot cope with the problems caused by Satan. We can be thankful that society does offer a limited amount of restraint, does offer a limited amount of protection, but society cannot permanently solve these problems. This account reveals what society does for a man in need. He was not able to accomplish much, but it isolated him, it threatened him, it restrained him, but it was not really able to change him. Then there's the third force, and that's the Savior. Jesus graciously came to this man in love, and he even went through a storm in order to do it. While society did everything to avoid this man, Jesus not only came to the man, he also treated the man with love, and he treated him with respect. Satan tried to destroy the man, but Jesus came to deliver him. Christ braved the storm at sea to show this grace to one who was so trapped in bondage, so entangled in battle with satanic forces. Jesus delivered this man by the power of his word. He restored this man to sanity, to society, and to service. What Jesus did for this man, he will do for anyone else who needs him and who seeks him. It's quite interesting to note that there are three prayers. There are three requests in this event. First, there was the prayer of the demon. The demons prayed that Jesus would send them into the swine. Verse 10 says, he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. And verse 12 says, they begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. We mentioned that these demons knew who Jesus was, and so this shows that you can know who Jesus is, but not surrender to him. You can even pray to Jesus and not surrender to him in terms of submitting your will to him. Second, there was the prayer of the community. The citizens begged, the citizens prayed that Jesus would leave them. Verse 17, the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. They pleaded with him to depart, to go away, to go somewhere else. The destruction of the pigs is not really the shocking part of the incident. The shocking part is the people's request for Jesus to leave. Perhaps the swine meant more to them than sanity. The pigs meant more to them than peace. The hogs meant more to them than happiness or heaven. The money meant more to them than the man. Countless multitudes still want Christ far from them because they fear that fellowship with him may cause some social or financial or personal loss. And that's often the case. We stated earlier that a man's not the same. He will change when Christ becomes Lord of his life. Spurgeon said, here was a whole city praying against their own blessing. The delivering power of Jesus does not make all people feel comfortable. When people are more afraid of what Jesus will do in their lives than of what Satan will do in their lives, they're going to push Jesus away. The third prayer was from the man, the former demoniac. This man begged, this man prayed that Jesus would let him go with him. He wanted to accompany Jesus. He wanted to follow him. He wanted to be with him. Verse 18 again says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. This man did not want only what Jesus could do for him, which was the case with many people who came to Jesus. This man wanted Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to stay in Jesus' presence. Part of his desire to go with Jesus may have been a desire to leave the area. He didn't want to see and live near a place that held such terrible memories. He didn't want to spend time with people who had seen him in his former condition. The man might have thought that he had to stay close to Jesus to keep the demons from coming back. If that was the case, the man needed to learn that Christ's bodily presence was not necessary in order for Christ to be present in his life. And so this account tells of three requests, three prayers. The demons requested that Jesus send them into the pigs. The people of the area requested that Jesus go away. And the man whom Jesus made well requested that he be allowed to go with Jesus. Perhaps surprisingly, Jesus answered the prayer of the demons, and Jesus answered the prayer of the citizens. But he did not answer the prayer of the healed man. What do you make of that? We may sometimes not understand why our prayers are not answered. We're trying to serve God. We're trying to be good people. We're trying to follow in the steps of the Savior. Yet some of our prayers clearly go unanswered. Or maybe we even get the opposite of what we pray for. Just as we previously concluded that if we knew what Jesus knows, we would have also permitted the demons to enter into the swine. And I'll suggest to you that if we knew what Jesus knows, we would not answer some of our own prayers either. Not only would we not answer some of our own prayers, if we knew what Jesus knows, we would also sometimes give ourselves the opposite of what we've asked for. Jesus knew what this man needed, and Jesus knew the best way to glorify God through this man. Jesus did not answer this man's prayer because Jesus knew what was best for him. And Jesus knows what we need, and he knows the best way to glorify God through us. And when he doesn't answer our prayers the way we think they should be answered, it's because he knows what's best for us. Just as Jesus' power restored the Sea of Galilee to calm and order, Jesus' power restored this previously demon-possessed man to calm and order. And Jesus can do the same for you, and he can do the same for me. Only the Son of God can deliver from the tyranny of the devil.